brought was raised in a Christian church, but had never really embraced my faith, had never been born again or yielded my life to Jesus. So as a 20-year-old, living kind of just a typical wild and crazy college kid life, God grabbed my attention in my bedroom all by myself one night. And some people had shared Jesus with me, and I'd kind of just put it off. But that night in my bedroom, I surrendered my life to Christ. I said, "Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I want to get to know you, and I want to start doing those things that I know you want me to do and get rid of the junk in my life." And as a 20-year-old, I was really struggling with what to do for fun, on the weekends especially, besides go to bars. And at first I thought, well, I'll just keep going to the bars, and I'll just hang out with my friends, and I'll just really limit my drinking. I want, you know, it'll just be very, all things in moderation. But every time I did that, I'd have one too many, and then I'd come home in guilt and shame. So I just decided, you know what, I'm just not going to go to bars anymore. I'm just not going to go. So I'm trying to figure out what to do for fun. And I just learned a scripture, John 10:10. Part of it says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full, or the abundant life. So my abundant life as a 20-year-old, I was sitting at home watching TV with my parents, because just about anything else I could think of, I would just go down the wrong path. But somebody told me about a little coffee shop. It was here in Jacksonville. It was at the corner of Timaquan and Ortega Farms on the west side. And every Friday night, this little coffee house would invite a Christian rock band to come and play. And somebody told me about this little coffee house, and the coffee house was very small and very simple. But from the first time I walked in there, that little coffee house just had a huge impact on my life. It wasn't overly religious. It wasn't churchy. It was just, but they would bring in a Christian rock band. And man, when I got there, not only did I start hearing music that had either straight up scripture or at least principles and ideas and words that were, you know, building my mind up, but I met a bunch of other young adults that were excited about their faith, that were wanting to walk the straight and narrow. So this little coffee house just had a huge impact. That was my every Friday night routine. And then the people I met there, that became the bulk of my social life. After about a year and a half of doing that, I decided to go off to college. After college, I worked in Chicago for a couple of years. And at Go Bears, I'll put that in there. Actually, I was in Chicago in '85 for the Bears. The Bears. The Super Bowl winning Bears. But I came back to Jacksonville in 1987. And in 1987, by then I was married and had a couple kids. And I thought, hey, I'm going to go see what's going on with this coffee house. And when I got there, the coffee house, where it had been, they had torn it down and put a new shopping center right on top of it. So the coffee house was just gone. And it was a very little, simple thing. But I just thought, you know, that coffee house was cool. Somebody ought to do something like that. And I just had this little thought. Somebody ought to do something like that. I don't know if you've ever had a thought like that. But in my story, it was about 5-6 months later that my family went through a tragedy. We lost 2 young children. I lost a 6-month-old and a 2-year-old in a terrible accident that left my wife critically injured and brain injured. It was a long recovery. I was not in the accident. I physically was not hurt, but that just really, really took me out of life for a while. It really walloped me. Even though my wife and I were strong believers, losing children and then her coming out of a coma, not remembering a lot of her life, it was just a long, hard struggle for her to get her feet back under her and for me to get my feet back under me. But I do want to say that I am a story of healing, and my wife too. The healing that God's done in my life and my wife's life is nothing short of truly miraculous in us. So if you never, anyway, God still heals today. I'm sure you all know that. But anyway, it was several years later, and it took me several years to even kind of get my feet back under me. But I was at a church retreat. It was 1993. So this was many years after the accident, many years after this coffee house impacted me. But at this church retreat, that idea of, hey, somebody ought to do something like that coffee house had kind of gone to the back of my mind. It was still there. But at this church retreat, I just felt like God said, you know, you said somebody ought to do something like that coffee house. I think you ought to do something like that coffee house. So I was like, well, what do I do? So basically, I said, okay, I'm going to do something like that coffee house. I looked around, couldn't find anything. And in 1995, I found the old Murray Hill Theater. It was in a neighborhood that was trashed out, riddled with crack addicts and prostitutes. The building was trashed out. The neighborhood was trashed out, but it was for sale, and the price was right. It was cheap. So I was able to buy the building. I was able to form a nonprofit organization with a mission of doing something like that coffee house. And what we've been doing now at the Murray Hill Theater is a little different than the coffee house, because now it's more like a full-fledged concert venue. But our mission, our goal is just to provide Jacksonville a venue that brings in faith-based and positive bands. It's an alcohol-free, drug-free, smoke-free venue. It is a nonprofit. I own the building. I donate the rent. I volunteer my time. And even with that, it barely makes enough to keep the building maintained and the sound system maintained. But we've been there for 20 years. Vic was the very first executive director and manager of the theater back in 99, the very first paid one, because I'd been doing it as a volunteer. So it's because of Vic that we're still going strong. So thank you, Vic. But yeah, so anyway, it's just a really cool ministry. I know some of y'all have been there, but I think one of the things y'all are interested in is some of the needs of the theater, and I'm probably out of time, but tough. Well, that was pretty big. Basically, we have one full-time worker, which is the manager. We have a couple of subcontracted helpers that help with sound and lights, but everybody else at the theater is a volunteer. So every night, we have a volunteer in our ticket booth. We have a volunteer that takes the tickets. We have volunteers in our snack bar. We have volunteers that help the bands load. He's a volunteer, including me. Merchandise. We have volunteer ushers or security. So everybody's a volunteer, including me. So if you think it's cool that Jacksonville has something like that, I'd encourage you all to pray and just say, hey, maybe I'd be called to come out once a month, once a quarter, you know, something like that, and come help out. We also, of course, are a nonprofit, 501c3. The finances have been tight for 20 years. We've always barely on the verge of keeping the doors open, but we have kept the doors open. Haven't bounced a check. I haven't gone broke doing it, so praise the Lord. And then we also just have some of the ways to help is just help us get the word out. I know there's a ton of people all around Jacksonville that don't have a clue about the Murray Hill Theater or what we do there. So y'all just spread the word, tell people you know that you go to church with, but people you live around. But it's just been a huge blessing, not only to the young adults and the adults in the community to have a place like that, but also to be able to give faith-based bands that want to use their music to further the kingdom. It's just a cool venue for that. So thank you so much, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Tony. So if you're interested in getting involved and learning more about it, Tony's going to be outside by the map on the wall out there. He's got some information, a sign-up sheet for volunteers, and more information about Murray Hill. Real quick,
murrayhilltheater.com. If you want to get more information, murrayhilltheater.com.
Let's pray for Tony. Heavenly Father, we thank you for men like Tony and for a place like the Murray Hill Theater. We know that you call us to make a joyful noise. There's even a book in the Bible, the Book of Psalms, that is lyrics to songs. So we know how important it is to you, and we know how you love to be praised and worshiped through music. So we pray for Tony. We pray for the Murray Hill Theater. We pray for all of us that we can get involved and learn how to serve you in so many different ways. And this is just another way that we can reach young people, young adults, children, and even ourselves in a place that is just full of joy and full of music and full of hope. So thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Tony.
All right, thank you.
You guys visit Tony outside.
Good morning. Morning. My name is Leonard Small. I'm going to go ahead and call the ushers up. Inside of your church bulletin, there's a little white slip of paper. You can go ahead and fill that out for me if this is your first time visiting. If you have any prayer requests, we're going to be receiving our offering. And if you'd be so kind, you should go ahead and fill that out for us. How many churches are there in Jacksonville?
One.
So today we're going to be praying for First Baptist Church. So how did I come up with that church? Yesterday I was in Cracker Barrel and I just met two wonderful people. It's amazing what happens when you stop consuming and start relating with people. So I just took a moment, looked around me, and said, hey, you know what? There goes some nice-looking people. Let me just have a conversation with them. Like, they're humans. Let me acknowledge their presence and existence. And they went to First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, and we sat, had lunch together, and it was an awesome time. So let us pray and pray for God to move at that church. Dear Father, we just thank you for this thing we do, we call church here in America, that we can sometimes become territorial and competitive. And we're at a season in our society where that won't cut it anymore, Lord. We're at a time where one-upmanship will not draw men to Christ. Matter of fact, I believe it will push men away. So I pray for the unity in the body, that remember that those around us who are covered in the blood of Christ are our family, our brothers and sisters. And I pray for First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, that you would continue to use that ministry, Lord, that you would continue to give them the resources and finances and volunteers and everything they need to continue to do what you've called them to do downtown. Pray for their pastor, for his family, especially in this time of season where a lot is asked of a leader. Lord, that we ask that you will cover them and protect them. We pray for our church, Lord God, as we receive this offering for the building of your kingdom, we ask that you give us wisdom to use it in a way that gives you glory. And we just love you and worship you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me draw your attention to a couple of things inside of our bulletin. First one would be the Wednesday Night Life. It has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing to just to see God's people and to speak on God's truths. We got a lot of stuff going on. So even if you don't want to learn anything, if you just want to dig a little bit deeper, I live by this mantra, be what you don't see. So if you don't think there's enough love in this church, be more loving. If you don't think that there's enough strong Bible study in this church, get into a Bible study. So everything you think you don't see, just be it. And Wednesday Night Life is a great way to be that. We got the Guatemala mission trip coming up next month, and the sign-ups are still going on inside the lobby. We have our Sunday morning breakfast help, one of the ministries that just touched my heart every time I walk into this building. I know everybody else's too, is, you know, some food and some coffee. So if God is calling you to the area of hospitality, they're looking for volunteers. Danae's contact information inside the church bulletin. We're still receiving meals for foster families. There's also an ugly young adults, but no, there's a young there's a young adults ugly sweater party, and I'm transitioning to 40, so I can say that with because I'm not young anymore. We also have some youth events coming up, so take this home and put it in calendar. God bless.
All right, good morning. It's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? We had a great time at the adult Christmas party last night. Everyone who came out, a lot of fun. Too much fun to mention on Sunday morning, a little bit, but it was a great time. You guys missed it if you didn't come out, but it is a great time of the year, and we say that, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and you know, if our focus is right and it's centered on Christ, you know, it is. But the reality is at times like Christmas and different holidays, but particularly Christmas, while it may be the most wonderful time for some of us, it's a very difficult, difficult time for others. Those who are struggling, those who've lost family members, those who are without, you know, it can be a real tough time. And I think about the people, the missionaries we have. I think about the places that we're connected with around the world. And there's one that I'm a little excited to share with you about this morning. Chris Steed was in town a few weeks back, and he shared about Project for Hope, which is a ministry in Guatemala to single moms and widows who are really oppressed by that culture and really have a hard time making a living wage and taking care of their kids. And so they are right in the middle of developing a ministry there. We've in the process of purchasing land to build greenhouses where these single moms and widows will work the greenhouses there and harvest tomatoes so that they can make a living and take care of their kids. Their kids will go to school on site there, and I just feel blessed to be a small part of that. Now, the project is probably a year out before it actually gets up and running. But there is a way that we can be involved, and so we're going to get involved. We do give monthly to that ministry, and we support the Steeds. But we're going to get involved as a congregation. And I think during this season, when we talk about giving, and we do a lot of giving to ourselves and to people around us, it's really important to think outside of ourselves. It's really important to think beyond our borders to realize that there's people in desperate need throughout the world. And so James says that true religion is taking care of widows and orphans in their distress, and we need to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to join with Project for Hope, and even though it's not fully up and running, there are families that they have already marked out who are going to be a part of this, some widows and single moms. One of those, there's a picture, and we met this family. This is Mira and her children, and a house was built for them through the 12-12 Love Project, and these families, even though they're going to be helped when the greenhouses get up and going, they're still struggling right now. They can't make a wage. She can't take care of her kids, really. And so it's through help, through churches like ours that help even put food on the table. So what Project for Hope is going to do in the next year, they're putting together a program to kind of speed things along. And so what they're doing is they're looking for sponsorships for families. And there's a lot of work to be done on the Project for Hope site, the land and the buildings. And so they could employ local people to work that and help fix it up. But what they decided to do was take some of these single moms, some of these widows, and have them help with working on the project leading up to it getting open and getting started. And so a sponsorship for a family is about $3,600 for the year. And that will pay wages, that will put the kids in school. It'll put food on the table. And so what they're looking for is there's 7 or 8 families that they want sponsors for. And for this year, the women would show up at the Project for Hope site, 8 a.m. They would work the day there. The kids will go to school. That will be paid for through the sponsorship. They'll come at the end of the day, get tutoring, mentoring there at Project for Hope. And they will be paid. It's not that much, but there it goes a long way, and they'll be paid enough to take care of their kids and not have to worry about that. So what we're going to do as a congregation, on December 20th, Sunday morning, the Sunday morning offering, not a second offering or anything like that, but the Sunday morning offering on that Sunday, all of it is going to go to Project for Hope to help sponsor these families. And we are going to sponsor at least 3 families. And you say, well, Vic, you're kind of putting pressure on us. No, it's all right. You know, whatever comes in, all right, we're going to at least sponsor 3 families. We've got money in the bank. We can do this, okay? So we're going to at least do that. But I want to encourage you, just think about leading up to that Sunday. If you would want to give toward this on that Sunday morning, just know all of the offering on the 20th is going to go to be a blessing to families in desperate need in Guatemala. And we want to follow what James calls us to do. I mean, that's true religion. It's a news flash to us here in the United States. Coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday, that's not really true religion, okay? It's a good thing, and I'm glad you're here. But it's putting legs, so to speak, exercising our faith, doing what God's called us to do. And so we're going to do that. And so I want to pray and just ask God to stir all of our hearts. Just be thinking about that, leading up to that, whatever you want to give. And as a church, we will sponsor at least 3 of these families, maybe all of them. And to God be the glory for that. Let's pray. God, thank you for opportunities like this. We thank you for the Steeds, the connection that we have there, Lord. They're family. And even though we don't realize it, our brothers and sisters in Guatemala who are struggling, they are family. And God, what an opportunity to join in what you're doing. And so stir our hearts during this time. I know some of us are stretched, and that's some of our own cause, Lord. But help us to look outside of ourselves, to be a blessing to people in need, and to trust you, the giver of all good things and provider of everything that we need, and Lord, to just give back to you, and that'll be a blessing for you, for your kingdom, and for all those who will be touched by it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. We have been in Hebrews chapter 12, finishing up the book of Hebrews, doing our series called Jesus is Better. And in the process, we've gone through and talked about the old covenant and the new covenant. If you're here last week, we talked about the life that we have is a gift from God. And basically, as we're born into this world, we're born into a race. It's like we get born, when we're born, it's like we're given a number like a runner in a race, and there's a race that's marked out for us to run, but it's up to us to run that and to run that well, okay? And so how we live our lives and how we surrender to Jesus will determine how we run this race. And this race has a beginning and it has an end. And none of us know when that end will come, so it's important that we run it well. I didn't expect Tony to share a little bit of what he shared this morning, but it's true, he played a big part in me being here in Jacksonville. We moved to Jacksonville to be a part of the Murray Hill Theater ministry there. But there's a little piece I want to tell you about this, and it has to do with running this race and what your role in that means. Because we think, you know, we're followers of Jesus, if we've surrendered to him. And so my life consists of a devotional time and reading from his word and praying and going to a place where the church gathers on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, being involved in a small group, and then living our lives. And really, the scripture talks about our lives just being surrendered to Jesus and God inviting us into a relationship. We're born into the family. We're adopted into the family. We're born into the kingdom through what Jesus has done. And so as we surrender to him, God has a relationship with us. Okay, we talk about that. So that means I speak to God as I pray, and I listen, and God will speak to me. So I was at this place in my life where I was kind of in between. I was in pastoral ministry for a while. I started an independent Christian punk rock record label, okay? And it was punk rock, hardcore, all kinds of crazy music. And I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. I was kind of running away from my call and the pastorate. I was kind of tired of people like you. I'll just be honest. I was tired of families. I was tired of people who said they loved Jesus but didn't live like him. I was just tired of it. And so I started this and gave it a couple years and said, God, if this is what you want me to do, then provide for my family. And it never took that next step. And so I was at the place of wrapping up this business I had, business/ministry. And I went to this festival in Illinois, and we used to go all the time. It was like a kind of a Christian Woodstock kind of thing, and a great time. And so I went, and I had a bunch of CDs. It was kind of, I had a table space there, and so I was selling the last of my stuff. It was just like the end of an era, and I just felt like I was supposed to go. Roxanne didn't go with me. And so I'm sitting at this table, and this guy, Tony, who I had met in Nashville at a Christian music thing, and I knew what he did here in Jacksonville. I was doing something similar in South Carolina. He comes up, and we start talking. He's like, what you doing? And we're talking about the record label. I told him I'm wrapping it all up. And he is asking me all these questions, and then he left. This is a three-day festival. Well, then Tony comes back later and starts asking me more questions, like probing questions about like personal things, you know? Like, what's up with this guy, you know? And he says, can we go to lunch? We go to lunch. Then he starts asking me about like doctrinal questions, you know? I'm at like a, you know, I run a Christian punk rock record label, and we're at this Christian, and he's asking me doctrinal questions. And so anyhow, we go to dinner the next day, and so Tony sits down, he tells me the story. He says, you know, I wasn't supposed to be here. He said, I had a family thing scheduled and it got canceled. And I felt like God telling me, like there was this nudging, I need to go to Cornerstone Festival. And it's like, no reason for me to be here. And so I sent an email out to the Murray Hill Ministry, everyone who's involved there, and said, listen, I feel like I'm supposed to go to this festival. I'm going to take some time of prayer and fasting, and I'm going. And he was asking everyone, pray for me as I go, that God, for whatever reason, you know, God has for me there, that, you know, I'd be open to that and hear what God has for me. And so he's sitting there eating dinner with me, and he goes, I think the reason that I'm here was because I was supposed to meet you, and I want you to come and run the Murray Hill Theater in Jacksonville, Florida. And it was this God moment, because I said, dude, you're crazy. I ain't going to Jacksonville, Florida. No, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know about that, you know, running a club, you know, like, and he shared with me about it. He said, well, just pray about it, you know, pray about it. And I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And so, long story short, I come home, tell Roxanne all that's gone on, and sit down with her, and I said, you know, here's this thing that happened, and he wants us to come to Jacksonville like in the next 2 weeks and see what's going on there. And she goes, oh, that's interesting, because some friends of ours invited us to Orlando, and all the expenses are paid and stuff. They want us to come to Orlando, and it was like that same weekend. And I was like, well, I guess we could stop by Jacksonville, you know, on the way down to Orlando. And so we planned that. And right before we're getting ready to leave, our friends called, and all of our stuff fell through. All the plans fell apart. So we're like, what are we going to do? I guess we'll just go to Jacksonville. So we went to Jacksonville, hung out with Tony, saw the theater, and God just surprised us, spoke to our heart, and said, you know, this is where you're supposed to be. And God, you know, he has a plan. See, he's got this race that's marked out for us that we're supposed to run. And, you know, you have to listen at times to know what you're supposed to be doing. And to, you know, we can get so distracted and we can run our own way and get so distracted we don't even hear it. So I just want to encourage you this morning, take time to listen. Maybe take time like that to, if you're feeling like you're just dry in your walk with God, maybe you need to take some time and pray and fast. It's important still today. And God used that moment. And now he had a plan. And now, as a result, Journey Church was planted, Emmaus Church is here, and I just want to encourage you that God wants to use you. He wants to use people like us, everyday, messed up, flawed people, to accomplish great things in this world. Whatever it may be, it may, you know, you may not be the person who goes to Guatemala. You may be the person who gives toward that, or maybe you go on a short-term mission trip. Maybe it's just what you do in your workplace and living for God and honoring him there. Just surrender to him and listen to him and believe that he's a God who would still speak to you. And I'm very thankful. I'm thankful for Tony. I'm thankful that he was in that place where he was listening, even in a very, very, having gone through some very, very difficult things, which he kind of alluded to. So I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you with that. Today, in Hebrews 13, we're going to look at verses, start at verses 1 to 2. I'm probably not going to get very far because we're about out of time. But that's okay. We're gonna do what God wants us to do this morning, and that's all that matters. And I felt like I needed to share that for whatever reason. We're going to share communion in just a little bit as well, and really just the central point of the service will be the breaking of that bread and remembering Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, and how we have life through that. So so Hebrews 13, we're going to begin in verses 1 to 2. I'm going to walk through some scriptures with you. This is like the end of the book. So there's like, it's like the author is writing, and he's everything he wanted to say and he didn't quite get to, he starts just throwing in there. So there's like a lot of random things that he just starts throwing, and I'm going to hit on some of those things. We'll just see how far we get. But he's wrapping it up as he's writing to this church and to these Jewish believers who are struggling, okay? So Hebrews 1 and 2, or Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now that's pretty cool, right? You ever have anyone tell you one of those stories, like, you know, something that happened and this really cool kind of crazy thing that happened, and then I turned around and the guy wasn't there. You know, and it's like really cool. It's like, I want one of those stories, right? And then in your mind, you're going, you're crazy, right? And maybe they are, right? Maybe they are, but who knows, right? Who knows? This stuff apparently happens. But let's put that aside for a minute, all right? Okay, show hospitality to those who are strangers. But how about we just start by showing hospitality to one another? What's the beginning of that say? Love one another as brothers and sisters. Continue to love one another. Anyone have siblings in here? Brothers, sisters? Okay. Now, do you love your brothers and sisters perfectly all the time? Any hands go up? No. Do you sometime have your moments? Yes. Right? We have our moments. We have a few kids. And it is very rare that we make it through a day when we're all at the house together when someone doesn't cry, all right? If someone doesn't cry, that usually means one thing. They're all at grandma's house, all right? Because it just doesn't usually happen. But here with siblings, when brothers and sisters go at it, and we always do and we often do, at the end of the day, we're still brothers and sisters, right? That's the thing that amazes me with my boys. They could have these moments and, you know, one come in screaming and cry, I hate you. And then 15 minutes later, they're like playing video games together or they're outside shooting baskets. And it's not that they've walked through this, you know, just deep sense of repentance and confession and reconciliation. I think some of it's just like, man, he's my brother. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. He's going to be there. He's the only one I really have to hang out with. I mean, we're going to be together. We're in this thing together. I mean, they just realize it and they just make up. Well, newsflash, Christians, we're going to spend eternity together. Learn to get along. Learn to love one another. Love one another. Doesn't mean we won't have our moments, but we learn how to work through that. We extend forgiveness. We love as Jesus loved us. How many times do you forgive? They asked him. Seven times, is that enough? No, how about 70 times seven? And really understand, that means infinity. You just keep on forgiving. That's the love he's called us to. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, but let's start with one another, okay? I mean, that's just part of the Christian life. Let me ask you a question, okay? When was the last time you had someone in your home? Don't answer it to me, but think about it. When was the last time you had someone in your home? Oh, Vic, you hadn't seen our house. No, because you didn't invite me over, hadn't you? Right? That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say here, right? No, we have 101 excuses why We don't do that. Yet God says it's something that's important to do. Oh, I work, you know, so hard all week, and I just don't have time to clean it. Get over yourself. Because other people probably don't care as much as you do. Or at least the people who you really want in your house, they don't really care as much as you do. When I was going to seminary, we lived in a single-wide trailer. And it was funny. We were young, married, and we thought it was the greatest thing. People would come over and their eyes would get this big, like, people actually live like this, you know? But we didn't know any different, so we were part of a church, and we had a small group, and the small group would rotate from house to house. And so I remember the first time a small group came over, we were so excited, you know, I mean, single-wide trailer, folks, not a double-wide, single-wide. We had a love seat, futon, one chair, and we're like, okay, so there's like 10 people coming over. How are we going to do this? Man, we pulled out, I'm not kidding, igloo coolers, and we had it all, and man, we did small group. And we didn't think anything of it, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. Now, I don't know what people thought when they left, but we had a blast, and we didn't think anything of it. Why is it we get older and wiser and we get so concerned about what people think? If we would just concern ourselves more with what God thinks, our lives would be so much richer and the world would be a much better place. Because you just don't know what you're missing out on in those moments. Because when you sit like that and you share life and you laugh and then you start sharing your story, there's this exchange of love, an exchange of grace, an exchange of wisdom that takes place that we miss. And if the Bible is true and the Holy Spirit of God lives in me and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, then I literally miss something heavenly in that moment. Yeah, you might miss angels that you're entertaining unaware. You might, and that's a pretty cool thing. But I can tell you for sure you're missing something really cool just with your brothers and sisters. And we're as guilty as anyone else. But I say this as a challenge. Folks, this is what the church is supposed to be like and look like, and that's how we're there for one another. That's how we help one another. That's how we encourage one another. We have to know one another. So I want to challenge you in that. When was the last time you had someone at your home? Because we often sit there, you know, I just don't feel connected to anybody. Invite somebody over. You know, take a step. Love one another. He challenges, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Show hospitality to one another. Verse 3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Okay, so here he's referring to people who are in prison for being persecuted for their faith, okay, not robbing the corner grocery store. All right, that's kind of the situation here, just so you know. Not that we don't still love the ones who rob the corner grocery store, okay, but here, this is what he's talking about. He's remember those people who are being persecuted right now and who are in prison, and don't just remember them. I mean, remember them like you're there with them. And as they're mistreated, remember them like you were suffering. And the problem is we don't see that here in America, right? So it's in places like, you know, Afghanistan or Syria, you know, there's places like that we do see believers going through this, and it's still so far off. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. But what do we say the church is? The church is the family of God living on mission. Not just the family that sits under this roof once a week, but the family of God. There's one church. So these are our brothers and sisters. And he goes, listen, your heart should break for them. Pray for them. Don't just read the news headline and go, oh, that's a terrible thing. Thankfully, it's not happening here in the U.S. Would you do that if that was your kid? This is our brothers and sisters. He's going, remember. Again, I mean, it's too easy for us. It's too easy for us to get distracted with life and we forget these things. And this is a challenge. Our hearts should break. We should pray. We should give. Voice of the Martyrs is a publication you can get that will help you understand this stuff more. Go to their website. He goes on. Another little random thing he hits here. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. It's pretty straightforward here, okay? biblical marriage, the marriage between a man and a woman, husband and wife, should be held sacred. And it's a shameful thing that within the church, the divorce rate pretty much mirrors the rest of the world. And look at what he says. He goes, God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Remember, this is post-crucifixion and resurrection. This is under grace, but he says there is judgment. Last week we talked about the fact that he disciplines those he loves. So I don't think he's talking about eternal judgment here for the believer, but he's talking about there's discipline. I mean, marriage is something sacred, and we need to hold it in high regard. We need to do what the scripture calls us to do within the context of that relationship. Ephesians 5, 21 to 25, a good one for those of us who are married just to be reminded of. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. All right, now this is a whole message here, which I don't have time for. But he starts off, submit to one another. There's a mutual submission in this relationship. And then there's a sense of order. It's not hierarchy, it's just order and roles. And just as Christ, it says the head of Christ is God, it's not that one's higher than the other because Jesus and the Father are one. Okay, so there is a mutual submission that takes place within marriage, and there's an order there. And if you think about the high calling, okay, a lot of people get on this, oh, submit, you know, wives need to submit. Well, listen, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He died for the church, sacrificed everything. So how you could see this as a domineering husband suppressing or oppressing a woman, that scripture's saying that, no, it's a man who lays down his life for his wife. And then in that case, I think a wife enjoys being lovingly led at times when necessary. So he goes, man, just understand, keep the marriage bed pure. Don't give in to these temptations and understand how sacred this is. And then I'm going to wrap up with this and kind of lead us toward communion. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Tough one during the Christmas season. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All right, so this is a command. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. If we did this, man, our lives would be free from a lot of pain and a lot of struggle. Because we run after stuff and we put ourselves in situations where we're bound by debt and all of these things, and we run after stuff of this earth. It's something that not only is painful to us at times, but it hinders what God wants to do in and through us. And I think it shows really a lack of faith when we look at this scripture. Other scriptures say, don't love money. You can't love both God and money. You cannot serve two masters, right? So we got to choose. Who are we serving? And then God says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So why would we chase money and chase stuff when the creator of all things goes, listen, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm with you, I'm your helper, right? So why do we chase this when he's the giver of all of that? Why? And I think it has to come down to a lack of faith, because we don't believe. We either don't believe that he is there, or we don't believe that he will do what he said he will do. Or we don't believe that we're his children and we're his beloved, that he really loves us and that he'll really take care of us. Or maybe there's this thing that we realize, you know what? Maybe all my wants, they're not needs, and maybe he'll hold some things back. And if he ever does that, it's only for our own good. And we have to remember that. There's so many passages in Scripture that deal with this. And I know this is a hard time of the season to hear, but man, I'm in Hebrews 13. I'm just telling you the way it is, all right? Don't kill the messenger, all right? And unfortunately, too many pastors help feed this greed and, you know, just this prosperity message, which just takes something that's truthful in Scripture and twists it to where it becomes about us as opposed to just this law of sowing and reaping that God does as we give to him. I mean, he provides, and he does that so that we can continue to be a blessing. Not that we have this super abundance, but that we can be a blessing. 1 John 3:16 to 17. I'm going to ask the band, Levi, to come up. This kind of brings it all home because he goes earlier, right? Love one another. Continue to love as brothers and sisters. Show hospitality to one another. Let me go to 1 John 3:16 to 17. Everyone knows John 3:16. Everyone should know 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Okay, let that passage hang up there for a while. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In just a few moments, we're going to break bread together and we're going to drink of a cup. And it's a reminder that his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, that our sin could be forgiven, that we could be made holy in the sight of God because of what he has done. He has loved us so much that he gave everything, okay? And so there's tables on either side of the stage. There's a table in the back. And in a minute, when we sing this last song, I just want to invite you to go and take that bread and break it and take that cup. But as we do that, we're supposed to do it in remembrance of him, that he laid down his life for us. He gave everything. And then we read this, and he goes, listen, you need to remember your brothers and sisters. And if you see someone in need, you got to have that same love that Jesus had, the love that would give everything. If God would call you to do that, that you'd be willing to lay it down, that you'd be willing to be a blessing to others, even if it meant for us to not have as much. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Let's not be people who love with words and just stuff we say, but with action. Let's do it spirit and truth. You know, we want to worship him in spirit and truth. And everyone loves a great, quote-unquote, worship service where you're singing songs and raising hands. Do we love it as much when we see someone in need? And we give toward that sometimes, not out of our excess, but sometimes out of our own, what we would consider need. Like, man, I was really planning on doing that with that money. And God says, you know, but your brother is really in trouble here. I mean, can our hearts be moved enough that our hands are moved enough to be a blessing? And I'm not talking about giving to the church, okay? So don't get this wrong. That's part of it. I'm just talking about loving people around you enough to do something for somebody. Whether that's sending that money to Guatemala, helping a brother or sister down the road, putting food on the table, or someone helping someone with their rent, helping someone pay a light bill, whatever it might be. That's what he's called us to. Loving people that much. It's not about the money, it's about your heart. Don't fall into that trap. Don't love money, love him. He'll provide, man. He'll take care of you. He'll replace it. He will. It's about surrendering your heart to him. So if you would stand with me, we're going to sing this last song. And And I want you to think about the sacrifice that he made. I want you to think about his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. I want you to think about opportunities during this season to be a blessing. Who can you be a blessing to? I told you one opportunity coming up on the 20th, but there's people around us. Who can we be a blessing to? Let's remember the blessings that we have as a result of the sacrifice of Jesus. And just ask God in this moment to just awaken our minds and our hearts and our souls. God, forgive us. We look at this world and we see just what's before us, and we live so much for the here and now. But as we go further in this passage, it says these people were living for something, not this earthly kingdom and this Jerusalem, but a new Jerusalem, a new city. God, we're all running this race and we don't know when it's going to end. Help us to run it well. Help us to surrender our hearts, our stuff, our money to you. And to believe that your word is true, that when you say you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and we can be content because we know that you, the Lord God, are our helper. How cool is that? God, forgive us for not believing that. Like, I got to hang on to my stuff because I might not have enough, yet Daddy has everything. God, we're stupid. Forgive us. We just are. I think of that scripture that says, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. God, help us in our unbelief to open our hearts and open our hands to you and allow you to direct that. Awaken our souls, God. Awaken our hearts to you that we might be led by you and that we, as we run this race, might be a blessing to this world just as you have blessed us. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you feel led, you can make your way to one of the tables. And I encourage you, try not to do that alone. If you can, if there's someone around you that's alone, ask them to join you. Be with family and friends as we share this time. Father, if we were all to be honest today, we would confess that we haven't spent the time with you that we should. We know you. You know us. God, we spent so much time just running around doing so much. And you say, really, there's only one thing that's really necessary. It's to build that relationship with you. God, we love you. Help us to love you more. Help us to see the value in slowing down, sitting before you, reading your word and listening. Just take a minute and just in the quietness of your own heart, just talk to him. Is there confession to be made? He's a loving Father that even when we neglect that time with him, he loves us and draws us back. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. God, Levi, you guys can come on up. God, I pray that as we just spend a few moments with you here, and it might be awkward for some of us, and for others it might be a a sense of something we've experienced in the past, but it's been a while. And Lord, we just need to quiet our hearts and take some time to just sit before you and listen to your words and lay our hearts before you, lay our cares before you, our struggles. God, confess the struggles we have in this life. And God, by your Spirit, believe that you love us in spite of all of those things, that you forgive us, that you want to fill us, and God, that you want to use us, and that we would be people who serve you. We would be people who do things for you, but it would be out of the fullness of a heart, God, that is loved and wants to share that love with others. God, that we would begin our day with you and know those mercies that are new every morning and share that with people. God, help us to be thirsty, I pray. Remind us that every good and perfect gift comes from you. God, that you're the giver of life. If you would, just take a deep breath. Just take a moment. Just take a deep breath. God, help us to believe that that is a gift. God, the fact that we're here this morning, another breath in our lungs, it's a gift from you. And God, we're not promised tomorrow. But if we have tomorrow, Lord, let us live it for you. And as we think about this new year, may it be a year where our hearts are turned toward you, where we see things from an eternal perspective rather than this world that is just passing away. If you would stand with me, I'm going to close with this song, but I just encourage you to just stay in that moment of attitude of prayer. Let it be more than a song. Let it be your prayer. Let it be your confession. Let us believe that he's the giver of life and every breath comes from him. And let's just worship him before we go today.